meeting to order. Remind everyone, housekeeping, please turn your cell phones off or on silent. And can we have a roll call, please?
Angie Christian.
Here.
Jan Barbas.
Here.
Michael Brulette.
Here.
Richard.
Constable here.
Thank you. Thomas Bean.
Here.
Al Cornell.
Yeah.
Barbara.
Charamella.
Charamella. Okay, the next item is the election of a chairman.
Kathy, could we just elect for the minutes know that Harbor Master Travis Webster is here and Budget Officer Ken Boone.
Present.
Present.
Okay, so I reviewed last year's budget meeting, and there wasn't an election of a chairman. But traditionally, that's what happens for a budget committee. So, anybody stepping forward?
You want to make a motion?
No.
No.
But Kim, didn't you volunteer for that?
She's the budget officer, not the chairman of the committee.
I don't know what the duties are there for that. You know, what's the chairman supposed to do?
Well, you have the election, and then the chairman says, okay, let's hear from the budget officer.
The chairman would be the presiding officer over the meetings.
Okay.
You would just make sure that the rules are followed to the best of your knowledge.
I don't know the rules to tell you too, so I'm going to leave that up to somebody else. Somebody else more familiar with the rules?
I'll volunteer.
Thanks, Mike.
Beat me out by a breath.
I'll move to nominate Michael Brulette.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
I think we need to go by name.
Yeah, we need to do a roll call.
You don't want to do it just...
Legally, you have to record by name.
Since it's recorded. Angie.
Yes.
Jan.
Yes.
Michael.
Yes.
Richard.
Yes.
Thomas.
Yes.
Al.
Yes.
Barbara.
Yes.
Okay, and does anyone want to volunteer as secretary?
We don't need any other officers.
No. So you're saying that it's not needed to have a secretary?
It's just an option.
Okay. Nobody wants to volunteer?
Well, the staff is taking minutes, correct?
Travis is in charge of the
minutes. Yes, I am.
Okay. Chairman, number 3. Meeting is turned over to the newly elected Budget Committee Chairman.
Wow.
Exactly.
I have no idea where we're starting here.
We'll go to 4.
Would be the.
Do you have
the minute?
Oh, here.
You have one?
It's on the front of your package.
Oh, I think I left it in the truck. Call to order and recall port interim manager.
No, go all the way down to 4.
Oh,
Roman numeral 4.
Oh, shoot. Chairman calls for presentation and message of the budget by budget officer.
All right, thank you. Okay. The Port of Brookings Harbor Financial Assistant, as the duly appointed budget officer, is pleased to present the fiscal year 2018-2019 annual operating budget to the Budget Committee and the Port's Board of Commissioners as required by ORS 294-445. The budget process begins in January each year. Information along with the past historical data and a projection of future revenue are used to prepare the proposed budget. The budget officer, appointed by the commission, prepares and reviews the budget with staff for the needs and goals for the upcoming 2018-2019 fiscal year. The proposed budget is then presented to the budget committee. The budget committee meets to publicly discuss the document and approve the proposed budget and any recommended changes. Public comment is received on the port's budget. A summary of the approved budget is then published in the Curry Coastal Pilot for the public information and review. prior to June 30th, the Board of Commissioners holds a public hearing to receive public input on the programs and services funded in the budget as approved by the Budget Committee. Since the port operates on a fiscal year beginning July 1st and ending June 30th, the budget must be adopted by the Board by June 30th of each year. Approximately 10% of the port's operating budget is derived from the collection of property taxes levied on the citizens of the port district. Operating revenues plus levied taxes essentially equal planned operating expenses and the debt service. The port's operating revenue includes moorage, storage and launch, fuel dock, boat yard, commercial leases, and the RV park. The lower highlights that occurred in prior fiscal years within the revenue areas that continue to impact the finances for the port. Marine Basin 1 and 2. Basin 1 encountered severe weather conditions along with past construction methods and continued decline of the usable moorage rental spaces. Basin 2 encountered severe weather conditions that triggered more slopes to fail and are now impacting the docks as well as public access. Major reconstruction or new docks will be needed in the near future. Section of boardwalk shoring is failing, caused closure on the north end of the boardwalk. This also was brought on by severe weather. The fuel dock access ramp is closed for failing slope and the port not following engineered drawings. Fuel dock lines were also impacted by failure and the breakaway valves were added to the lines to prevent an environmental disaster. The RV park, the building housing the RV park office, laundromat, and mini-mart was shut down and demolished due to dilapidation. Failing electrical infrastructure affected several back-end spaces. The laundromat and mini-mart were closed and not reopened. The RV park is now located at the old shack. Commercial leases. Six new or amended leases were completed to fill unoccupied spaces or expand current space. Fiscal year 2017 to 2018 revenue outlook was lowered by the 2016 storm related damage throughout the port properties, the lack of fuel, a full salmon season, late crab season, and the continuing decline of usable moorage rental spaces in Basin 1. It is understanding of port management that the 2016 storm declaration of emergency repairs relating to that event will be reimbursed to the port through a combination of IFEMA, the mitigation plan, OSMB grant awards, and port matching funds. State revenues would assist rebuilding the port's infrastructure. The first phase of this lottery fund revenue was received in January 2018 and reimbursed the IFA bridge loan for the dock renovation. Revenues will continue to be affected for the next 4 years while the natural hazard mitigation plan is gradually implemented as resources become available. The planned projects include Basin 1, Boardwalk North Deck, Basin 2, or that should be Basin 2, Boat Launch, Transient Dock, Basin 2, Fuel Dock, Upland Storage Area, General Storm Water Drainage, Embankments, Commercial Receiving Docks, and Storm Protection at the RV Park.
Can we ask questions when you go?
Sure.
Who sets the priorities on, say, the repair work?
I was going to ask.
The priority?
Yeah, which gets done, which gets funded, who does that? Well, what process do you use to make that happen? Is that the director's responsibility?
Angie?
The commissioners have a list of priorities that we've discussed in meetings that I think you've been to, and we look at that every year and set the priorities.
Is this part of the strategic business plan?
We take that into consideration.
So the commission did review the strategic business plan last fall and felt that in view of the state of the infrastructure, that the strategic business plan was no longer
accurate as to what we perceive the priorities to be and that it was in need of revision. Its economic basis and all the studies that went into it are accurate, but it doesn't accurately reflect the failing infrastructure and the need to prioritize failing infrastructure. So the strategic business plan is mainly looking at things like expanding Basin 2 into the boatyard and moving the boatyard over to, I don't know what you call it.
The barge slip area. The
barge slip area.
So you have a modified business plan?
It's not been updated yet, but the board has determined that it needs to be updated, I think is where we left it.
Will a document of that be available?
It's not available because we haven't updated it, but the...
Will it be available?
The current one, of course.
The current one is on the website, the port website.
Okay. Thank you.
And we can talk more about that as we go
on,
too.
So basically, the budget committee establishes the funding, but what actually is going to go on is up to the board.
My understanding is that the commissioners are, you know, they set some, I guess, goals and the operation. It's to the director to allocate and to get these jobs done. As far as the commissioners are concerned, they're not supposed to be micromanaging these different plans and stuff, but to put in place, you know, a business plan to be adhered to by the director, correct?
Each time we go into a specific project, that comes before the board, and the board sets those priorities. We don't micromanage the implementation of the project, okay? We're not going to be out there mm-hmm. in the field saying you're putting this concrete in wrong or right. But we do approve all the contracts, all the bids, all the grant applications, that sort of thing.
Okay.
So far as the priority list, does the port office have authority to look at those and say, well, we need the fuel dock first and then the receiving dock? In other words, are we taking a priority as far as which is worst and then go from worst to the least, or?
We number the priorities 1 through 5, and then any time throughout the year, management certainly can come to the board and say, this was a priority 4, but because of these circumstances, we'd like to make this a priority 1.
Okay. Right.
Well, and you'll see in this budget, we haven't got to this discussion yet, we will, I'm sure, but I would say personally, my view, the siltation and slopes is a higher priority than receiving docks, but mm-hmm. we have a grant from the legislature for $600,000 that we can use for matching funds for a receiving dock, and I presume that's why management and the budget officer have put receiving dock in as our next major project after the pilings. Mm-hmm. So,
and that's the commissioner's priority right there.
So what we're going to do is establish a budget, and then the commissioners are going to at some point approve that project or not approve that project or approve some other project, and if that occurs that they don't use what we've appropriated, then they would have to do a budget amendment, and depending on the size and nature of the budget amendment, they might have to do a budget hearing.
Can that leftover money be used somewhere else?
Well,
the $600,000.
The $600,000 is just for dock. It's just for improvement of docks, and that's how it was set up.
Okay. So, but
we can talk about it.
Your basic question, though, was, what's the authority of the Budget Committee and what's the authority of the Board of Commissioners? And so the Board of Commissioners...
And the Director, which don't leave that out.
Well, the Director has the implementation authority.
Right. As we go through this, it will become clearer. Yes. Kim's put a lot of effort into it, and we're going to, as she finishes the message, it will become clearer.
Okay, good.
Okay, I will continue.
Where are we at?
The second page. No, the third page. Thank you, Angie. With the approval of the mitigation plan on April 10, 2018, continuing phases of the rebuilding are anticipated. Three projects, which we just discussed, are forecasted in this budget to take advantage of the lottery fund revenue in the amount of $600,000. And that's earmarked, it's called the Port of Brookings Harbor Dock Fund, and it's to be received in the spring of 2019. The port is continuing its efforts to seek other grants to satisfy the matching funds obligation. The port's cash reserves continue to be reduced significantly by the extreme debt burden. Due to the current conditions of the port, private restructuring of the debt is not available. Due to this extreme debt burden, the port is unable to hire additional personnel, replace or repair infrastructure needs for it to be functioning normally. It is the intention of the current management to continue to find ways of lowering overhead costs, to be financially responsible to all vendors and creditors, and operational management so that the port can maintain its current conditions until funds become available to improve and bring back the full potential of this port. A little about the accounting basis. The Port of Brookings Harbor uses the modified accrual basis of accounting, which basically means that the revenues are recognized in the period they become available, and expenditures are recognized in the period in which the liability is incurred.
May I ask you about this?
Sure.
If you don't owe something for another year, and you incur, you made an agreement that this is going to happen, and you're going to pay it next year, do you still take it in immediately?
You mean a liability, accounts payable?
Yeah.
So if someone says it's a bill and it's what? No, yeah. it gets entered right then, and it's accrued.
And okay.
So it shows up on that day or that month,
even
that year.
Even before any payment is, okay.
Right.
Payments. What happens to how do payments get credited? Do they get credited immediately before they're made? Is what it sounds like.
No, the bill's on there right away on the report on the financials, and then when the bills are paid, then it's no longer liability.
Right, but when does credit get taken for the liability?
When they're paid.
Okay.
So it's kind of accrual, but it's kind of a modified, not real all accrual, but not real cash.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Okay, the budget document. The principles of the budget policy are based on the following: balancing estimated revenues and proposed expenditures, allocating resources to achieve desired outcomes, measuring program outcomes and progress towards desired outcomes, encouraging savings and investments that reduce or avoid future costs. Planning for the short term and the long term using consistent assumptions on demographics and trends, providing accountability at all levels for meeting program outcomes. The port budget is made up of five separate funds: the general fund, the USDA revenue bond fund, the debt service fund, capital fund, and the reserve fund. Revenues and expenditures for each fund are detailed in the budget schedules. The general fund revenue from enterprise activities and property taxes are recorded in this fund. Expenditures from the general fund will total $2,022,587. Transfers to other funds, $532,023, and operating contingency of $50,000 will balance the fund. And just, you may be aware that we have amendment to the budget, so those numbers aren't quite right, but we'll get to that when we get there. The USDA Revenue Bond Fund starts with a working capital of $98,395 from weekly transfers of the prior period from the general fund. The bond fund relies on transfers from the general fund of $130,120 to make the annual revenue bond payment of the like amount. The annual payment is due November 6th of each year. A reserve of $13,012 is required by the USDA. The debt service fund starts with a working capital of $102 from weekly transfers of the prior period from the general fund. This fund relies on transfers from the general fund in the amount of $361,903 to make obligations to debtors. With the anticipated sale of land, the 80% requirement to the FDA is included. The requirements of $385,505 for the debt payment amounts are found on Schedule B. The capital fund provides a separate accounting of grant-funded projects. Detail of anticipated grant funding is shown on Form LB-11 of the budget package. The Reserve Fund, Resolution 307, established this fund in 1998 for dock maintenance and future dock replacements. The fund disappeared from the budget in 2003, and it was resurrected to begin saving for the port's future. Schedule C uses depreciation lists from port CPA for values of port assets. In conclusion, the port proposes to increase its net working capital from the previous year debt restructuring plans by implementing repairs, improving infrastructure with state assistance, sell some assets to reduce the debt burden, and begin saving funds for the port's future. The port's forecasted activities are conservative, relating to the normal ongoing port operations. We would like to take the opportunity to thank the Board of Commissioners and the members of the committee that have worked without compensation for the benefit of the port and in support of its staff. So if anybody has any questions, or if you want to just plow through the...
What kind of assets are we selling here?
We are selling the harbor land, harbor sanitary district, that piece of land that's over
there. In the corner of the boatyard, right? The boatyard corner, is that what you're talking about?
Wherever they're going to put their new line.
From where the Great Best Western is? Okay.
It's the corner where that Coast Guard flashing light is, in the corner of the boatyard by the parking.
Okay. The prior board, the board in before July 2017 approved a list of real property sales, mm-hmm. and that included, I think it was in roughly February 2017, mm-hmm. that this process began. And that includes the strip across the street there where the real it's posted for sale. The piece they were just talking about.
What thing?
It was the one that was traded
by
from Best Western.
On the other side of the insurance guy?
Yes.
Okay.
And there's a total of about five or six parcels.
Bush building.
What would be the total of the assets there?
But I think we're not doing the Bush one.
The only one I know that's for sure is the Harbor Sand one, and that's for $45,000.
Okay.
What about the easement for Kenny Burtis?
I don't have that in the budget. I don't know the status of that one.
I thought we were just waiting on signature.
Okay. Yeah.
So you don't have the total value of all of it?
Or the names of which one we're talking about. I'd like to know what five pieces we're speaking
of. Yeah, I don't know all the five pieces. I can check with
my manager. They aren't necessarily going to be sold because there may be no buyer or whatever. The board just simply authorized putting them up for sale.
So what would be
I have
best?
To ask you also, they were appraised and
Some are waiting. I thought Burtis is waiting for a land lot adjustment. And what will happen is we can't guarantee that we're going to receive the money in this year's budget. And so if we would, depending on amounts, then we would amend the budget.
The money that's gained from the sale, how is that allocated as far as the budget and the state is concerned?
80% goes to IFA and 20% stays in the general fund.
Okay.
So none of these five properties that you're talking about, any profit from any of those is not included?
No, just the one. They haven't sold
They're
yet.
Not sold.
We don't have If we had a closing date that's within the next couple of weeks on one of them, then we may look at that differently, but we don't.
I just had the Harbor Sand one in there because I'm pretty sure that will be finalized this fiscal year, right? Our next fiscal year.
Right, exactly. That's the hope and prayer.
The other ones I don't know about.
May I ask you this? Due to the extreme debt burden, Port is unable to do anything, but the conclusion says that you're going to do things.
Well, we're hoping for funding, and we're trying to do things as the funds became available. Like we just did the work for the restroom.
Okay, so this has nothing to do with debt restructuring. This is just brand
right,
new funding.
Meaning we're not going to take our debt anywhere else.
And
try to get it financed with somebody
else.
Hopefully
some of these sales are going to help implement this conclusion.
It would be nice. Right now we're probably about $300,000 behind because of when the tsunami happened, we were granted relief from those payments for a while, and we still need to make up that, plus the normal quarterly payments.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're behind on our payments,
oh, yeah.
$300,000?
Well,
seven
I could...
Seven payments of $62,500.
Yeah, I mean, I could get you the number. I track it all the time.
But the correction, Barbara, is the state, with the knowledge that we had the tsunami, they gave us a break. Where technically we're not behind... Okay. And our quarterly payments, they want us and encourage us to catch up with the almost 2 years that we suffered from the tsunami.
But they gave us a grace period, so we're not incurring any extra fee.
That's my knowledge.
No, they just kind of put it in the back of it.
Well, the interest, of course, we're accruing interest on the principal.
Oh, okay.
And so... Now, the interest may or may not be written off in 2030 when these loans are repaid. And that's a key issue for the
big
board.
Big key, yeah.
Big key issue.
Big key. So, yeah, we kind of want to make those payments.
What we believe, what the board believes, and I can't speak for the whole board, but what I believe is that if we succeed in getting these back payments paid by the due date, we've got a lot better chance of seeing forgiveness of the interest. So it's a very high priority of the board to get these payments caught up. I think that's a fair assessment.
What kind of interest rates you got on this stuff?
They're
all
very
different. They're varied.
From where to where?
What's that?
The interest rates on this stuff.
Oh, yeah, they vary. It's broke up into probably 8 loans. Mm-hmm. They were consolidated in 2009.
Right.
To make one payment, and yeah, they all vary in interest rates.
So you told them below 7%, below 5%?
Yes, most are below 7.
Okay.
And I could get you that too if you want to stop in. Or
I'll stop.
Okay. So go ahead. Is everybody?
Yeah.
All right. So we'll look at the general fund first. The estimated revenues are $2,595,116. And to calculate these resources, I basically took an average of last fiscal year and this current fiscal year to March 31st, the ending of last quarter. And the miscellaneous income is based on projected amounts that we receive basically every year from Coos Curry Electric and our longevity. And then the asset sale we talked about already from Harbor Sand.
The only question I have on that is you got a total of resources of $2.6 million. And over here you have a total of, it's pretty close, it's 2.6, okay. We're talking about that. You're on the next page, three. Page 3 of 40, total resource of 2.6.
So it's $100,000.
Yeah, okay.
So,
anyway.
On page 3, if you look at the amendments that we made, I did make a few amendments, like for the network capital, I dropped it down 20,000.
67.
Down to 67,554. And that's basically due, we're going to use that money to do the sewer at the Zolas.
The sewer what?
Yeah, this fiscal year, so.
You're going to do what with that?
The sewer repair at Zolas, the pizza place. And then I increase commercial retail, and it's there's a support document. I recalculated it, and I believe if I brought it up to 522,700, that's a more accurate representation of what we should receive.
Where is that indicated?
It's on your amendment sheet right here. See?
Yep. The back of it. Okay.
But where should that be on this document?
It's on line 12.
Okay, that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, that's where it should. It should be 522,700.
So I have one question on this page.
Sure.
If you're ready for that.
Mm-hmm. I'm ready.
So Gary had estimated that the beachfront RV park lost about $51,000 in revenue due to the Checo bar fire, and obviously we don't anticipate that recurring in the next fiscal year. I'm wondering if we are a little conservative on the RV park. I'm okay with it being conservative if that's the case, but
the board did vote to go back to winter rates, which could increase revenue.
Mm-hmm. And plus, you don't have the laundromat in the store over there.
Well, we haven't had that for
quite some time.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not necessarily suggesting a change, but I did point out that I think it might be a little for conservative.
So bell and whistles don't pay any rent yet?
I can I can look at that and run the numbers again.
It's okay. To answer you, Al, the bell and whistle used to be a port-owned business, and its budget had a page in the port.
Okay.
It's now a lease. So when we come to commercial leases, that's one of the lease revenues.
Good. Commercial retail.
Technicality for you all is, as long as there was activity in a past year, it has to stay as a line item until it drops off, and then we can get rid of it, and it won't be that confusion anymore. Mm-hmm. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So it's there because it had activity in the second preceding year.
So next year, won't have to be there.
Cost for dredging?
Dredging.
Same thing.
We're not
same
getting
situation.
Any.
Same situation.
Yeah, we don't have the dredging machine anymore. When we had it, it was getting us some revenue.
So Barbara,
don't we have to pay still to have it done?
There's three.
This is for resource. That's.
Yeah, there's three sorts of things going on. So let me just clarify that for you. One is that the Yakina comes from the Corps of Engineers and dredges the main channel in the mouth of the harbor. We don't pay for that. That's Corps of Engineers.
Okay.
The next is that periodically, when we can, we do pay for dredging the boat basins. The third is we were actually operating a dredge as a profit center. That was the state's dredge. Okay, and that's what this line item that you're seeing on line 15 was. So that has been transferred to Port of Coos Bay, and that's the state's decision, and we no longer have it.
Yeah, dredging the channel is not free.
We don't pay for it.
My understanding is that there's a fee for that, because the last time they were going to quit doing that, and they had to gin up some revenue to have it done. You recall anything like
that? That revenue that they were looking for ended up coming through that year. I do remember what you're talking about. The Army Corps of Engineers has to put in for the monies that they get to dredge the 6 or 7 channels, I think, in Oregon. Mm-hmm. And then those, that depending on the money that they receive, that they're allocated, then that gets split up between the ports. And sometimes
there's not enough.
Sometimes there's not enough money.
Right. So there's
every year the Corps of Engineers has to go for funding. Mm-hmm. It is not an automatic funding line on the Fed's part.
Okay. But we've been and the governor's representative for our area, Alex Campbell. We've been pushing hard that the Chetco Bar fire could impact the channel because of stuff coming down. The Bear report indicated a prediction of 150 times normal siltation rate. Kathy and I recently had a chance to hear from Tina Lanier that they've been monitoring it and have not seen any yet.
Right.
So far we're okay, but we've been priming the pump on making the case for federal funds for that channel.
That's if it does happen.
Okay. The rest of the story is that when we had coffee breakfast with Peter DeFazio, he is the senior most representative on the committee, and he has a great rapport with the Corps of Engineers. Good. And he also indicated that he is looking for an additional aspect, which is the local economy, so right now the Corps of Engineers dredges based on poundage, commercial poundage that comes across the bar. He is going to add, or wants to add, an equation, which is the dollar value of the commercial product to the community and how any loss of that will impact the community.
Okay. Yes, Mike?
Land use events, are that special events? I noticed here at zero on the special events. Is that like the Salmon Slamming events and things like that?
Right. So they used to be special events. That's when the port put them on. And then now that we just rent out the land, we call it land use events. So it's the same thing, but we just broke it up differently. Mm-hmm. So special events will slowly work its way out.
The income that's come in from the past, because I see a huge amount here in 16-17, is because there's not enough staff members to handle that. Is that the reason why?
Wait, are you talking
prior,
about
prior
special
years.
Events?
Prior years.
Oh, right. I'm just thinking of future, how we could get more income coming into the port. I see you have special events. Is the reason that we don't is because of the staff being too shorthanded?
If you look at the resources and the requirements, are the special events was always a losing for the port.
This is the income. It doesn't have the
expenses. It doesn't have the against. It doesn't show you.
I'm just asking. I understand that. Yeah. I'm just asking.
Yeah. I mean, maybe in the future, but yeah, Travis, you probably know more about that than I do.
Well, no, if it's a costing, I mean, I just, that's
well,
what
that's,
I'm
Well, that's what it is.
Costing
we went to
money.
That, and those numbers are on there because, yes, we used to hold them, but we don't any longer.
So that was a board decision of the prior board, and then I guess last September or October, it came before the current board, and the vendors all were at that meeting and asked us to keep it the same. They were feeling that the fee structure and this approach was working for them, so the board agreed to make no changes.
Sure.
So that is a board decision, and what we're doing is saying we think the revenue for next year is correct and the expenses for next year are correct.
Good. Just two other questions. Asset sales, is that such as pipe?
No, that's the harbor sand.
Okay.
That we talked about earlier.
And then the miscellaneous income.
It's like 5 lots, I guess.
What does that consist of? Is that just oddballs, like sales?
What's that? Miscellaneous income?
Yeah.
That is, basically we get like, that's a Coos Curry patronage that we get every year. Because we spend a lot of money there. And we get a longevity credit from SDAO. There's just a lot of miscellaneous income that we that we get. Like this year alone, this fiscal year, we've got a lot. Mm-hmm. I could show you that, but I don't have that, like to sell the FEMA pipe and...
So stuff like the dredge pipe doesn't come under that?
Well, that did, but that was this fiscal year. It's, okay. So it's not representative on this.
On this one, this is next year.
Right.
So when you hold auctions and stuff, it just gets tapped into the miscellaneous, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Right. Okay, so is everybody all right within the resources? I was going to check over the beachfront RV park and look at those numbers again. Okay. All right. So I have it broke out the requirements into the different groups. Administrative marina is, of course, it's kind of like the overhead one. It never makes any money, but it does have a lot of requirements. So the resources are from the moorage, boat and gear storage, launch fees, and all the other fees, which there's not that many other administrative fees. And then the taxes go in there too. So I estimate the resource to be $620,400. It's a little bit less than last year by $100,000.
Why is that?
It's mainly based on the moorage because we don't have the slips rentals that we have the idle docks.
They've always been idle, at least some I've been here.
Well, we lost E-Dock and C&D, are part of C&D. And then I did increase it a little bit because of the salmon season coming.
Oh, yeah, good salmon season. Yeah.
And like I said, most of these are based on the previous year and the current year to March, the end of March. So I'm kind of using actual numbers. Mm-hmm. And then, so the requirements, and this is, look at our amendment too. The SEP IRA correction, I lowered to 45,000. It is on page 5, line number 9. So when I did this, I didn't have a lot of the information that I have gained this week. So based on that,
what's the true number?
Should be 45. Just cut it in half.
It's the first bullet under 1 in your amendment. So this is a situation where the benefits program wasn't administered properly under prior management, and we're having to do makeup payments to comply with the law.
Well said, yes. Yeah. So we're going to try to take care of 45,000 of that, and the other 45, we kind of need to do more research on that at this time. So we're just going to...
that for employees that are no longer working?
That added on to the $90,000?
What's that?
Is that added on to this number?
No, it's subtract 45, subtract.
Take off 45. We're going to deal with the 45 and get it corrected, do more research on it. Mm-hmm. And it affects some current employees and some that are no longer at the port.
Okay. Take care of the personnel.
So let's see, I got that. Personnel services, I did a spreadsheet on that in the back, but basically it includes a 2.0% wage increase. It's the current CPI that was recommended by management. And it includes a 1% increase in health insurance, and then the costs and benefits increase significantly based on the previous fiscal year. So I don't think enough was budgeted last year because, well, you're aware that we went over budget.
Do we need to do an amendment?
I don't think so. I think we're okay on that.
My understanding that last year the only amendment we made to the budget was an increase in port staff salary.
Oh, before the budget was ever adopted?
Yes.
And it could be.
That was the only change made.
I like that change you made.
I didn't make it.
You're talking about changes that the budget committee made before it was adopted.
Correct.
I think there have been some changes during the year that the board has adopted. We've had hearings and done some.
On the budget committee?
No, budget committee wasn't required for those changes.
Okay.
So the budget committee, as I understand it, is required if it goes over a certain threshold.
Okay, so if you could explain to me, we did give an okay to increase the salaries in the last year's budget, and you're saying we didn't budget enough to increase?
No, I was talking about the cost of benefits, not the salaries.
Okay.
If you look at last year, what was budgeted, 82,500,
right.
And we're already over budget on that now. And we were probably in February.
I remember bringing it up.
So what I did is in your support documents in the back, I did a spreadsheet kind of to show you where I got the numbers for the salary. It's based on calculations for personnel services.
What page?
It's way in the back.
Back here.
Yeah, it's back here. Sorry, it's behind the green tab, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So that's where I got most of my numbers from. I based that 2.7% increase, and then the increase for the healthcare, I think life insurance went up like 19%, but it's pretty minor anyway.
19% of all.
It's probably about like $35, but the workers' comp, I raised that a little bit. And then, so if that makes sense, I don't.
Okay, but I guess what I'm asking is, if we approved a increase for the management and the staff or whatever last year, how are we short? If we needed it for the benefits or whatever part of it, couldn't that have covered it? I'm confused under, you gave everybody a raise, but then their benefits went up too. So that's what made the budget become short.
Wasn't there a raise in January?
Correct. There was a raise in January, yes.
And that didn't come before the budget committee, correct?
Because that was approved last budget committee. Well, the last budget committee, there was a increase approved. That was the only change we made.
But then there was a 10% increase, correct? In January or February of this year?
That was a temporary.
That was a temporary.
That was extra duties. We didn't have a manager.
I remember.
We also had, changes to the health care rate. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, is that correct? Healthcare went up or something, one of the benefit costs went up?
Right. Oh, yeah. So I'm not sure what he had figured in his numbers, but yeah. It did go up 9% last year. It only went up 1% this year.
Right.
So that could have been why, because he might not have got that number, I don't know for sure. He might not have had that number when he did the budget.
I'd just like it to be noted that it was very generous. You wanted to give the staff a raise, and you all deserve much more than you make. But in moving forward, if you're going to give raises, we have to understand that health care and costs of things are going to go up that we have to consider in our budget. And we did that on top of everything going up. Like, I think you had asked for a 10% raise, and you're saying that the healthcare costs went up 9%. That would have
cover. Why didn't you ask for a 10%? We as a board.
Correct, but you had brought the motion to bring it up or whatever, is all I'm saying. As a board, we had given them 10%.
In January? Is that what you're talking about?
What I'm saying is they got a raise, okay, which was 10% or whatever they had decided on, but then the cost of having their benefits went up also. So we have to consider that. I mean, we want to give everybody raises, but if there's that much of an adjustment in the benefits, we have to budget for that and not get hit with this kind of shortfalling. 10% or 9%, that's a lot.
Well, and to answer your question this time, Kim already has received the notification that the healthcare benefits are going up 1%. Okay. So that's already been confirmed.
We don't always know that so, when we set the budget.
Exactly.
The levels has been changed with the health insurance, except the premium has gone up 1%.
That's what Kim has been notified of.
19, but it,
so that's incredible.
That.
Never heard anything like that.
So I have one question on this section that we're talking about. I thought we moved Travis to salary.
Oh, that is a good question. So salary, Travis, the harbor master's salary is based, he's based on salary, but it's calculated hourly, just so we can track the hours for each department, especially when we get to capital projects, we want to be able to get those hours reimbursed. So.
And it's just due to the amount of time I spend in every single different little spot.
Yeah, it's a good tracking for me. And then the salary for the port manager, I increased to 100,000 from 83,979 due to concerns from my resources. I actually called the port of Newport, and they have budgeted for their port manager, which their port is a lot bigger, but they have it at 120.
And are we saying port manager as Travis or as
no.
Who is?
No.
Well, it used to be the name,
yeah.
Gary.
Right.
So it would be whoever is charged, hired as port manager.
But is that your salary right now?
No, mm-hmm. I'm a contract worker. I'm not an employee.
Okay.
So.
But you are interim port manager.
Exactly, and I'm under contract.
She's not on
professional
payroll.
Fees or wherever. I'm not on payroll. So
okay.
Because the commissioners have entered into an agreement with special districts to hire a permanent manager, the budget has to reflect okay. what it's going to be able to pay that manager.
Okay.
And, you know, this might be overstated because... Well, what is it? Beginning of this is going from July 1 of 17. So, depending on when we get the manager, but it's better to be safe than sorry.
So, before you go on, I just want to let everyone know, and particularly the chair, we do have a special meeting scheduled at 7. I anticipate, since Commissioner Davis is not here, that it's going to be very, very brief. But what I think if we would need you to give us a recess so that we could have that meeting and then continue this afterwards, coming up in about 5 minutes.
So you want a recess now?
No, in about 5 minutes.
Okay,
or so.
That's cool.
But just warning you that that's coming.
Good. I have a question on your benefit package. Is it, far as what I read, it's going to be leveled out? Nobody's getting 10%, 15%, and is it all leveling out to the same?
You're talking about the SEP IRA?
Yeah.
Yes. As of October 2016, when management found the mistake, then we made it so everybody's getting the same percentage.
Okay, so is there back, there was back? Management. Back monies that are owed to the employees?
Yes.
Our previous before that time.
Right, period. And I don't know if I have that figure. Was that quite a bit?
It's
$45,000.
Right. It
And that goes into this budget now that we're working on.
Yeah. Right.
Correct. So that's line...
Nine, well... Page 5.
And I,
yes.
How many and I have a document in the back showing
oh, good.
That.
Good. Okay.
But keep so in mind that there's still additional research
right.
that needs to be done. What happened is our CPA, her father has died during this process, and the funeral's tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So some of the information that we needed for this budget was delayed due to death.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Now, on that IRA, is that paid every quarterly or at the end of the fiscal year or what?
It's paid. You mean the correction?
Yeah, well.
Not really.
The regular, IRA, the regular
system.
Goes with each paycheck.
Okay, very yeah. good.
And the 45 is basically to pay people that, present employees and former employees that never received a dime, then they should have. So just to make you feel good, that is definitely, they need.
But the number won't go over 45 grand, right?
No, it could go up to another 45 because there's still more research to be done.
I see, okay.
So the budget is an estimate based on the budget officer's best information at this time.
Okay.
Yes.
And very I good. Have a question on, are we ready for the materials and services?
Or? Yes.
Okay. So on the repairs and maintenance line 13, 148,778.
That's huge.
Could we get some sort of a concept what is anticipated to, with that? I'm particularly interested if we have money to do any painting or roofing and rot repair in the rehab center here.
Well, so this is just administrative, Marina. Basically, those numbers.
Is not the right place for that?
Well, the commercial retail has its own. But basically, that 148,000 is. I know it sounds like a lot of money, but.
Well, it is.
For the year, that is like.
It goes quick.
It goes quick, and that's just for little repairs all around the port. That aren't categorized in the beach run RV or the commercial retail.
For example, we've had faucet problems at the filet station. We had to replace the faucets. It seems there for a little while, it seemed like every other day. But South Coast.
That the grading of the roads, that's making cool. sure that could
time
fill.
Electrical.
The electrical damage, the belt and pedestal damages,
plumbing is
stocks,
plumbing. Time and material on it?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, they better call the recess.
Well,
yeah.
So recess.
Mike,
Chairman,
can you call
please have a recess?
How do I do this?
You just declare a recess.
I declare a recess.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Recess. Okay.